Thank you, Jesus. What an honor it always is to stand in front of this congregation and in front of our pastors and bring it to the word of the Lord. It is a deep honor. You're humbled and you pray. As soon as you know that you're going to be preaching, you start praying. So, of course, I did. And I said, Lord, give me a word for this service. And I started feeling in my spirit, just don't be afraid. I said, okay. So give me a word for that I can be timely and help the congregation. Don't be afraid. Okay, God, I won't be afraid, but give me something that's timely for this service that's from heaven. Don't be afraid. I finally got it. The title of my message is Don't Be Afraid. And okay, Lord, you can even speak to me. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. God is faithful. Don't be afraid. He is faithful. Don't be afraid. He's with you. He's with us. We heard it this morning, that light shines in darkness, or light shines in a moment of darkness. Don't be afraid. God says, I'm faithful. Don't be afraid. I have you. Don't be afraid. I'll finish what I started. Don't be afraid. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Fear not. I know who I am. Don't be afraid. I'll get you through. Don't be afraid. I'll fulfill every promise that I've given you. Don't be afraid. I'll never let you go. I'll never leave you. Don't be afraid. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't be afraid. I'm the ring of fire around you. Don't be afraid. I will terrorize your enemy. Don't be afraid. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you turn in your Bible to Matthew 28? And it's just amazing to me that I'm listening to the message this morning and Pastor Carter was in Matthew 27. So he was at the cross and now we're going to go right into the resurrection. God is so good with his word. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Praise God. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for speaking into my heart. Lord, let these words be life and light, encouragement to the body of Christ that are listening to it right now. God, we ask that every heart question would be answered today. Every cry of the heart would come before your throne, that you would hear from heaven and you would heal, you would set free, you would deliver, you would encourage. God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew, the 28th chapter. And we'll be reading out of verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, it had begun to dawn toward the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. This is obviously right after Jesus had been crucified. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, he is risen. For just as he said, come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his other disciples. In verse 10, as they were running, then Jesus himself greeted them. And he says, "Do not be afraid. Go and take the word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." This is obviously an incredible moment at the resurrection of Christ. There are two groups that the Bible talks about that are present in this garden, the garden tomb. They had laid Jesus in a tomb, and they put a Roman seal around it, and they put the guards to watch it. And the guards are there, and then there's the women that come in. You've got two Marys that are walking through the garden. They're headed toward the tomb, and all of a sudden, this massive earthquake hits. And an angel descended, rolled away the stone, and sat upon it, and the guards shook with fear and fell as dead men. The angel hadn't said a single word. But all of a sudden, there's this fear that enters their heart. And the word here for afraid means that they were paralyzed with fear for terror. They were paralyzed with so much fear because there was this sense of dread and terror that was coming. Folks, there are times when God shows up. Sometimes he doesn't even have to say a word. He just shows up. He just comes onto the scene. He doesn't sometimes have to say a word. He chooses to, but if he doesn't, he just shows up, and all of a sudden they're paralyzed with fear. Now the two women are walking along. They're headed the way toward the tomb. Can you imagine what is going through their mind as they're seeing this? They obviously feel the earthquake. And by the way, this is the second earthquake that's just happened in 3 days. So the guards have got to be thinking, what in the world? It's quite possible that this was the very guards who also helped the Romans follow out the execution orders for Christ. So they just a few days prior felt an earthquake. When Christ died on the cross, an earthquake occurred. And that's what we heard about this morning, that the centurion said, surely this indeed was the Son of God. So they no doubt have been aware that something has been happening, and all of a sudden they feel another earthquake, and they've got to be going, uh-oh. It's on the same Jesus, the one that we just killed a couple of days ago. Now we're at the tomb and this earthquake, and this angel shows up. So they fall over with, and they're paralyzed. They just become like dead men. And the women are watching this. It didn't affect them that way. So there's two groups here. There's the group that had followed through with the execution of Christ. They represent that group that put Christ to death. And then there's the group that followed Christ. So what you see here, what's happening is that when the angel says, don't be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, there is no fear if you're looking for Christ. If there is something in your heart, if there's a longing and there's a yearning in your heart, you may witness earthquakes. You may see angels. You may see all kinds of things busting loose around you, but it says that they were not afraid. Instead, the word when it says that they left, they were afraid and ran with great joy. Put that together. All of a sudden, they're seeing this angel sitting on top of the stone. The guards are completely out of it, and an angel is now speaking to them. Don't be afraid, because I know you seek Jesus. Folks, God knows the intent of our heart. He knows where we are. He knows about the struggle. He knows about the failures. He knows about the issues. But he knows when we're crying out saying, God, I need help. And here's the two women who showed up here, the followers of Christ, are genuinely concerned. And he says, don't be afraid, and yet they take off running. The word afraid there means that they were frightened, but it's more along the lines of astonishment. They were astonished. They were amazed and had great joy in their heart because they had just been hurt. They heard that Christ is indeed risen just as he said. Don't be afraid. Christ is risen. Don't be afraid. He is Alpha and Omega. Don't be afraid. He will deal with your enemy. Don't be afraid, because at the right moment, at the right time, in circumstances in your life, Jesus will show up. Praise God. He will show up. He promised he would. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Where will you be when the Lord shows up? Where will you be in your search for Christ? because he is going to show up. When things are falling all around us, and we heard it again this morning and have been hearing from this pulpit and the pastors of this church for some time, we are headed into some really terrific days, challenging days. We're seeing it on the news all around us. Society is crumbling. When the earthquake happens, where will you be? When heaven starts to shake, when the earth and all of our circumstances around us begins to fall, when everything begins to crater, when it seems like mankind is on the verge of literally eating itself up, and the day in history where we are right now, we can feel it, we can sense it. Pastor Carter said this morning that we're quickly approaching a time when we go from persecution to prosecution. And the body of Christ is sitting going, Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to follow Christ. If that's the cry of your heart, we're here to declare there is no reason to be afraid. There is no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And Jesus is love. When he got up and gave himself on the cross, what we got in return was life everlasting. If he didn't, with Christ, do that, why would he not freely give us all things? Why would he not give you victory over your enemies? Why would he not give you the trial that you're currently in? He may not speak anything right now. There may not be an instant answer in some things, but I tell you, when God shows up, your enemies have to flee. When light shows up, darkness has no chance. It has to go. It must go. Darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. So when light bursts on the scene at the resurrection of Christ, when the guards who are not seeking Jesus, they had no say in the matter. They had no choice. When your enemy who is not seeking Christ comes in and they're now trying to keep down the testimony of Christ, they're trying to seal the testimony of God. They're trying to lock it up and make sure that it doesn't get out. But you're seeking Jesus. When that occurs, light shows up, terror strikes your enemy, they're the ones who fall dead. And you're standing there astonished, but there's great joy in your heart. He is alive. He's risen. And if he's alive, that means that everything he said is true. Oh, I can just imagine what was going through their hearts when they go, it's true. It's true. He is alive. And then he showed himself to them. Oh, Jesus himself, now he's risen from the dead, and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's red letter edition. Don't be afraid. Jesus himself is saying that, and we have no reason to be afraid. Where will you be? Praise God. I'd like to take you real quickly to another garden where God showed up in the midst of failure, in the midst of sin. Would you go back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis, the third chapter? Genesis 3:8. Adam and Eve had just sinned. The fall of man had just occurred. They were tempted. They did what God told them not to do. And now God is about to show up. They knew they had made a mistake because it says right here, look at Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called the man and said, where are you? He says, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. When sin comes in and sin is present, it doesn't want to be exposed. So when God shows up and is ready to face failure and is ready to face your sin, our first reaction is to hide. I know that's my reaction. And the word here, in when they said that they were afraid, it reads like this. There was this emotional, this deep felt way deep down in their knower, there was this emotional and intellectual anticipation of danger. All of a sudden, they're aware I've made a mistake. I mean, it's the ultimate, uh-oh. It's the ultimate, I'm in real trouble now. So they've sinned. Sin has entered in for the first time into the heart of man. And the Lord shows up. And their reaction is that they wanted to hide. Folks, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether you're at the garden tomb and the enemy is trying to seal up the testimony of God, or the enemy has deceived Adam and Eve into sin, Jesus is still going to show up. He showed up in this garden. He showed up at the tomb. And he has promised, I will always be there. Because he said, if I will never leave you or forsake you, that means he never has left you and he never will leave you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's promises that have been spoken into your life. And Jesus is saying, I know the voice of the enemy. I know the lie of the enemy that's trying to come into your life and say, why don't you just give up on that area? Go ahead and walk with God. Come to Times Square Church. Go ahead and pray, sing. Just don't give up that area. Don't give up that one little area. So Jesus comes along and says, I know I can face failure with you. I can face fear with you. I can face your circumstances. There are great circumstances coming. We need to be able to get this right now, because when the day comes down the road, we want to be able to be looking for Jesus. We want to be able to say, I am seeking the will of God in my life. Are you with me on that? If you're seeking Christ and you really are truly wanting to know the answers to your questions, why would he not freely give you all of these things? If Christ himself not only died for you, gave himself for you, why would he withhold your desire? The desire to say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to walk in truth. I want to walk with integrity. I want to walk with honor. I want to protect the honor of your name. When sin continues to take hold of man, what really happens is that unbelief settles in. They didn't believe the word of God. They were tempted. Adam and Eve were willing to move away from the testimony of God in their life. And all of a sudden, they wind up with a great uh-oh moment. So this progresses. So mankind has had sin all through the ages. And every time there's a great event that occurs, Jesus always shows up. God shows up. So I'm curious. I'm saying, Lord, if here in the garden, if you're describing that there was this big anticipation of danger because of sin, where else did this occur? Is this the same kind of danger that has occurred all the way through history? And the answer is yes. One of the great moments where I was looking at, I was saying, okay, if the ladies in the garden, the two Marys, were seeking Jesus and they weren't affected, they didn't fall over like dead men like the guards did. When you showed up, they're fine. They're okay because their heart is seeking Jesus. The guards weren't. And all of a sudden you show up in the Garden of Eden. Man has sinned, yet you didn't destroy man. God came to save us, not destroy us. He came to deal with sin. You can't continue to walk through life knowing and walking in willful sin and not expect a different experience. If there's something occurring in your life that's not been surrendered over the Lord, when God shows up, there's this sudden expectation or anticipation of danger. Are you following me? I know what that's all about. I know what that feels like when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit comes. Your tendency is to either hide or step into the light and say, God, deal with me. If I'm wanting to see Christ, God is not afraid to face my failure. If I'm wanting to follow God, he's not afraid to expose the hidden areas of my life so that I can walk with him. He's not afraid to do that. He's not muddied by my sin. He's not worried and he's not afraid of what I do. What occurs, which is a very dangerous spot to be in, is this same type of afraid follows man all the way through. And I want you to look at one other situation for me and just flip two books forward. It's in the book of Numbers. And I want to cover this with you quickly and show you what this looks like. What happens when sin takes hold, unbelief settles in, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a real tough situation? In Numbers, the 14th chapter, Moses had sent the leaders of Israel, the leaders of the tribes, into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, to spy out what is now Israel. He said, bring me back the reports. And they go into the land and they come back with their reports. And it says that 10 of them brought back evil reports. Or they brought back reports of unbelief. They're saying, you know what? Yes, there's fruit. There's milk and honey. There's all kinds of great stuff in the land that we're going to inherit. But there are also giants. When you walk with God and you try to do something in your own strength, the giants get bigger because you're just standing in yourself. You're not standing under the covering and the protection of God. When Adam and Eve, what they did in the Garden of Eden is that they weren't seeking God. They decided to seek self. They decided that I want my way. I want my own self-rule, my own self-gratification, my own self-advancement, the lust of my own flesh, the pride of my own heart, my ego. What can I get from God? What can all of this do for me? It becomes inward. It's selfish. It's self. So they weren't seeking God. They were seeking self. That's why they hid. So they knew that they had made a mistake. And all of a sudden, God is saying, I want to give you something bigger. I want to give you something better. I want to give you something great, but you're going to have to trust me. So when the spies go into the land, they come back and they bring in these different reports. And it turns out to be one of the biggest rebellions. In fact, it's referred to in the New Testament as the rebellion, where unbelief continued to cement itself into the heart of man. And yet God shows up. Watch this. In Numbers 14:9. Then this is Joshua and Caleb telling the other brothers, the protectors of the house of God, the protectors of the people who brought back this other report. And they're telling them now, look in verse 8. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. That same word fear is exactly the same word that happened in Genesis 3:8. The sudden anticipation of dread. So now they're saying it's now on their head. They become our prey. If the Lord be pleased with us, this is what God will do for us. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So all of a sudden now you've got this voice of the testimony showing up, saying, don't go that way. Come this way. Believe God. Trust God for your life. Yes, there are giants, but their protection is gone. God will show up. So what do they do? What happens in the next verse? But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. So here's another scene. You have in the wilderness, you've got leaders of Israel, leaders of the people of the nation, have gone into Israel. They brought back the report. Yes, there's giants in the land, and they will overpower us. If you get a chance, go back and read this story. It's a fascinating story because it talks about sometimes the attitude of our own heart. Yes, God, it's tough out there. There are giants. Am I going to be overpowered by these giants? Their report was that God is not able. It was unbelief. Unbelief that developed into such a rebellion that when the testimony of God shows up, when a voice comes back and says, don't worry about that. God's got us. If God be for us, who can be against us? So this is the voice of Joshua and Caleb, and all of a sudden they want to pick up stones and stone them. They want to cover them with stones. They once again want to cover the testimony of God and see if they can keep the testimony hidden. And there are two men that says, don't do it. And right before they get ready to stone them, what happens? God shows up. Jesus shows up on the scene. Just like when the guards thought they had him in the tomb, they had put the Roman seal around the tomb, and they're just sitting there waiting to keep the testimony locked up, the honor of God to be locked up. They're just waiting to do that. That's their orders. God shows up. They fall as dead men. The Lord shows up here. It says the glory of the Lord came. To fast forward, what happened to this whole generation of unbelievers wound up dying in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb went on in. Caleb had a different spirit. Joshua wound up taking the reins from Moses. But the good report winds up going in. So the point is, when you are seeking God out of a heart that says, yes, I may have failed, I may have challenges, I may have issues in my life, but if your heart is saying, I want to know God, and the enemy's trying to keep the testimony and the promise of God locked up into your life, if you're crying out like that, God will show up. We heard about it this morning. It's the promise of God. It's always been true. It always will be true, because God is not a God who can lie. If he says he's going to do it, he will do it. If he says, I have you, don't be afraid, I've got you, that means he's got you. He's holding you. Just reach out and just grab onto him and say, God, I need you now. I need you to come into my heart now. I need to know that God is with me even now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you afraid of the giants? Are there giants in your life? I think King David, at the time when he slew Goliath, was obviously a giant. The whole nation around him was struck with fear. They were actually, many of them, paralyzed. They couldn't fight. They were afraid to fight. David was seeking God. He was more concerned about the honor of God's name than he was about himself. So when you are concerned about the testimony of God, when you're concerned about the honor of God, the honor of his name, the glory of his name, the majesty of his name, if that's what gets you going, then if you run into hard times, Jesus has promised, I will protect you. I will be there with you. So David shows up, the whole Israel is afraid. Saul himself, the leader of Israel, is paralyzed with fear. But all of a sudden, the stone now is in another hand. The stone that actually slew Goliath. The devil wants to roll a stone in front of the testimony. The devil wants to stone the testimony. The devil wants to cover it and keep it down and keep it hidden and not let it come out to the people. But God said, I will show up at the right time, and when I will bring glory to my name, I will take my vengeance upon my enemies, and I will strike terror in their heart. Psalm 9:20 says that he will put terror or fear into the heart of your enemy. It's time for them to be terrorized. It's time for the enemy to see what God is doing. We stand for Christ. We just simply stand for the honor of his name, the testimony of his name, and Jesus is the one who shows up. We can't do it. If you try to do it on your own, you wind up turning into self. You look internally, you try to do it on your own, and all of a sudden, that giant is a real giant. It's much bigger than you are. Oh, folks, but God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, he either can show up or he can just simply speak the word and life comes. There may be an area of your life that you may consider to be dead, maybe over, maybe you believe the lie. You've walked with a limp for so long that, well, this will just be, I'll just go this way for the rest of my life. But I love God, but I'm just going to keep this up. But I love God. I'm satisfied that I'll just walk with the limp. Maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's an addiction that you've had a hard time overcoming. Jesus is saying, if you seek me, I will put terror into the heart of your enemy. You will seek him and you won't be able to find him. He shatters him. He shatters the teeth of the enemy. He breaks the bite, that bite that comes into your soul that says, I've got you. Jesus is the one who says, no, you don't. What I did on the cross, I set him free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're going to need that in the days ahead. We're going to have this in the days ahead. And I want to close with this. It's the third garden. We have the tomb, we have the Garden of Eden, and then the garden that Christ himself went into right before he was crucified, the Garden of Gethsemane. He agonized in the garden, said that He agonized to the point where he sweat what were great drops of blood, the agony of what he was about to go through. I've always believed that it was the agony of having to face the most hideous death anybody could at the time, probably still is. The agony of that, knowing that you're going to give your life up that way. But I think we've also heard many times from the pastors of this church, the agony was because he knew he was going to be separated from God for a moment for you and I. He knew he was going to get up on the cross and he was going to take all of our failures, he was going to take all of our struggles, all of our sin, all of our excuses, all of our issues, he was going to nail it to the cross. The very sin that created the fall of man in the first place, he's going to nail it to the cross. The sin of unbelief, all of those, he's going to nail it to the cross. The addictions, the hurts, he's going to take it, he's going to nail it to the cross, and he's going to take it to the grave with him. But folks, that stone will not stay there forever. When he takes it to the grave, he promised, I will rise. I will come again. And that's exactly what happened in the garden tomb. Jesus agonized in the garden, but I think that he was agonizing for the joy that was set before him. The joy of being able to know that just in a few days, the two Marys are going to come in to the looking for me and they're going to run with joy. They're going to run with great joy because they're going to know my promise is true. They're going to know that I am who I said I am. That knowing is going to come into their heart and they're going to go, it's true. Jesus is alive. They could go to his disciples and say, we saw him. He is alive. He said he would rise and he did. He said he would set us free and he did. He said he would forgive us and he did. And not too long in the future, all of a sudden the day of Pentecost comes. I tell you, if you're in Jerusalem during this time, you've just seen one earthquake on the day he died. You saw another earthquake on the day he rose from the dead. And then you see heaven come and baptize people in the Holy Spirit. Change the entire world. Jesus is alive. And it doesn't matter what the newspaper says. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter the restrictions that society is trying to put on the church. They cannot and will not silence the testimony of God. Praise God. Praise God. His testimony cannot be silenced. It just simply cannot because he said it couldn't. He said, my word lives and abides forever. Forever. And when you're saved, you live and abide forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you stand, please? Hallelujah. It's a great moment that's going to come right now. A great expectancy that could come right now. You won't fall over as dead men, but you can leave running with great joy. How many want to run with joy? Joy in your heart. Hallelujah. Are you afraid to fail? Is there a pattern of failure? Is there the fear of failure? Are you afraid to trust? Have you trusted before and got let down? Maybe you let somebody down. Are you afraid of your own past patterns or standing in your own strength today? You're tired. Say, God, I can't do it in my own strength anymore. A failure. I think the woman caught in adultery was obviously failed, but Jesus showed up. In the midst of failure, God showed up. The people at the Red Sea were backed into an unbelievable circumstance, not even of their choosing. They're there at the Red Sea. Jesus showed up. God showed up and did a miracle. It doesn't matter how high you go, how low you go. You can't hide from the presence of God. But Jesus is wanting to show up. He's wanting to show up in your life right now. Seek Jesus and watch your own enemies fall like dead men. I'd like to open the altar. As our musicians play, I'd just simply like to ask those of you who are carrying a burden that you're tired of carrying. If you're afraid to fail, you're afraid of the pattern of your own life. Is there something in life that you say, God, I need you to show up now. We just want you to come forward and pray. You just come and pray. We're going to pray and you're going to go with joy. That's the promise we have today. So just simply come. Unburden whatever that is. It doesn't matter what it is. Just unburden it. And just let God say, I have you, I love you, I will keep you, I'll never leave you, I'll set you free, and you are going to be with me forever. Praise God. Just simply come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Set free right now, God. Set free, Lord. Settle the issue once and for all. In the hearts of your people that have come forward today, even those who couldn't or wouldn't, God, set free. Set free, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God's not afraid of your failure. He's just not. That's why he came. He knows your fears. He knows your timidity on issues. He's calling some of you into a new place, a new walk right now. And there's maybe some holding back because you just, God, I don't know what happens. I don't know the future. He's saying, I have you. Will you let me take you to a place that is so exciting that you will run with joy? There'll be faith in your heart. Will you let me deal with your enemy? Oh, Jesus. He wants to show up. And he'll show up right now. In fact, I believe in all my heart, he'll replace being afraid with courage. He'll put boldness in there where there's timidity. For the faint-hearted, he'll bring bravery. And it's just simply in your heart. It's not grabbing your sword and shield and running out on the street. It's simply right now at the altar of God in your heart saying, God, I want this. I want this. I want to be found to be seeking Jesus so that when you show up, yes, you'll deal with my enemy. You'll deal with the very people who executed my Lord. You're like Mary's in the garden tomb. You'll run with joy. Jesus, do it right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, have your way. Have your way right now, Lord Jesus. God, you see your word, the testimony that you've placed into each one of my brothers and sisters. I'm asking God in Jesus' name, Lord, and where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there, you're here, you're promising, you're fulfilling promises, and you'll break the teeth of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Expose the lie of the enemy in Jesus' name. For the glory of your name, the honor of your name, the honor of your testimony, we stand for the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Resolve in your heart now just to say, God, I want the fullness of God. I want the fullness of the life that Jesus has for me. I want the full manifestation of God's presence in my life. I don't want the other stuff anymore. I want to walk with God in the fullness of everything that God has for me. As Pastor Carter said this morning, his prayer when he got saved, he said, God, I want all of it or none of it. Resolve that in your heart today. God will bless you richly and you will run. You may be astonished. You may be a little freaked out at times, but you will run with joy. The joy of his heart is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. His joy. Praise God. God bless you. I'll turn it.